Hey, Merry Christmas. Good to see you. How many boys and girls are here and know it's Christmas Eve? Sound like it's a lot of big boys and girls there trying to get some presents. It came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered and taxed. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to deliver her baby. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were greatly afraid. And then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you glad tidings, good news, of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And now when they had seen him, they made widely known the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all those who heard marveled at all the things which were told them about, by the shepherds. But Mary kept all of these things and pondered them in her heart. And then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let us bow our hearts for a word of prayer for just a moment here. Our Father, we listen to this story that has been read in hundreds, well, millions of places tonight and earlier and time zones today. It'll be read in millions of places tomorrow. And you have been telling this story for more than 2,000 years, and we count it a privilege that we could hear this story here tonight. What an honor that you're still talking to people who live on this planet. Lord, we'd like to just ask for all the children that are present right now that you'd bless their little hearts. For the small ones that are just beginning to understand the lights and the trees and the gifts, that their hearts would be able to understand your great gift, that the light of the world has come to save them. And Lord, we pray for the older kids that as they grow up, their hearts would still be soft and tender like when they were children. And they can see this holiday as a great time to thank you for giving them life and for giving them the family they have. Lord, we pray for these small gifts that are being passed out, that it will be something that moms and dads and aunts and uncles and grammys and grandpas could talk about and explain, use this night as a great night to explain, that the whole family would sit together in awe of what you have done And so, Lord, may you minister and keep all of us safe on the highways tonight. But I pray that you will especially open the ears to hear what you have said through this story. And that you've been so patient. You've repeated it to us pretty much most of our lives, every Christmas. And still some don't get it. So let tonight be the night that they get it. And let it be a blessing in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, it's an interesting story, to say the least. For the last 2 weeks, we've been looking at the manger scene, the nativity of all the different angles, and there are many more than we talked about. Not only many different angles that you could look around the nativity scene or above it, but the messages that come out of this story of this young woman, more than likely under 20 years of age, and closer to a 15-year-old at the time, knowing how old they were when they got married was somewhere between 12 to 15, 16 years old. But for her to have met this man named Joseph, who was a humble man, he's a carpenter, and he didn't have a lot of bucks, and they had to go 90 miles, probably walking. We see pictures at Christmas and Christmas cards that she's riding on a donkey. But I think most of you ladies that have been pregnant would say you'd rather walk 90 miles than to ride on a donkey for 90 miles, right? Well, you would. There's no shock absorbers for those guys. So that's a long ways to go. It took them some time to walk 90 miles. That'd be the same as walking out of this driveway right now. I did a Bible study for 3 years in Newport Beach, and I'd always peg it, and it was 86 miles from here to the front door of that house. And then 86 miles back home. So I'd figure, this is Joseph and Mary going by Camp Pendleton here, down into Oceanside, and over to Carlsbad, Del Mar, you know, working its way back into San Diego. That's a long ways to walk. And Joseph had to be really a patient man. He was, first of all, upset because he heard that his fiancée, which is what we would call her, they were betrothed, but that was a ritual that for 1 year, everybody in the community knew that this woman and this man were going to get married. And they could not touch each other until they were married. And so for Joseph to hear Mary explain that she's pregnant, this has to be a very special man that he accepted it. And then in the middle of the night, an angel came to him. And an angel is a pretty powerful being. In fact, there's a story in the Old Testament that the Israelites were afraid of their enemies. And I believe it was the Assyrians. And one night, God had told the bad king that they had better back off from his people or they were going to get hurt. And he sent this one angel down amidst the troops, the Syrians, and that one angel by himself killed 185,000 people. One angel. They're powerful. They're strong. When Jesus was in the garden before they arrested him and took him to the cross, when they came in that garden, they said, he said, who are you looking for? And they said, we're looking for one named Jesus. And Jesus said, I am. That's all he said. He didn't say, I am he. He said, I am. And those were the same exact words that Moses heard when he went to the burning bush and said, why is this bush burning, but it's not falling apart? And then God spoke to him and said, Moses, take off your sandals because this is holy ground that you stand upon. And I want to send you to my people. And you will go to them and proclaim my message of life to them. And he said, God, I can't go and speak for you. And he said, yes, you can. And he said, well, who should I tell them has sent me to release them? And God spoke to the bush and he said, you tell them that I am, has sent you. Otherwise, no human being can say that I am, because the second we say that we am, we were. Because we're in time. But God is the great I am. He's been there ever since the bush and before, and he's been here right now for you and me. And that is the same one that was standing in the garden. And when he said, I am, meaning you're looking for me, 200 soldiers with weaponry fell over backwards just at his word. And then when they started to get up and get everything together, they were pretty shocked. And his disciples were kind of surprised too. Peter was kind of a funny guy, though he was a really brave and courageous man because he ended up being crucified for his faith. He pulled out a sword and he started to chase this young teenage boy that was an assistant to the high priest. He didn't chase a soldier, he chased a young boy, and took his sword and chopped his ear off, and it fell to the ground. And Jesus said, "Put away your sword, Peter." And he reached down and he got his ear and he put it on and he healed him. You know, sometimes we grown-ups are kind of silly, aren't we? When you think of it, Peter just saw Jesus say two words, "I am," and 200 soldiers were knocked out, and he's going to do something? Sorry, he can't. Christmas is always a reminder that he has done something already. God has allowed angelic creatures come to earth and proclaim wonderful things. In fact, when these shepherds saw the angel, they were amazed because not everybody sees an angel. But they knew what it was right away. They had read about it in the scriptures that they had. And what amazed them was then the sky filled up with what's called the heavenly host. Many times we think that's four or five musicians or singers just hovering in the sky, and they're singing a cappella probably and in harmony. And it's not. The heavenly host, you'll remember our friend Joshua, who fought the battle of Jericho. One night, God sent a messenger to him, and he was so awesome and so mighty. And Joshua was a strong young man, and he is fearless. He wasn't afraid to fight with his fists or with a sword. He wasn't afraid to wrestle, whatever it took to get the enemy. But when he saw this warrior, he said, tell me who you are, unless I go into the wrong battle here. And he said, well, I'm the captain of the host of the Lord's army. And that tells us something very reassuring tonight. That God has one angel that can take on 185,000 individuals. And he has one angel that can light up the hearts of shepherds, the humble people that live in fields. And then he can just bring a host that will be there to verify nothing from the dark side can stop the message that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he created you in his likeness and in his image. And God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would never perish, you'd never die, but you'd have everlasting life. And Jesus said that his Father, God, did not send him into the world to condemn the people of this world. Actually, he had pity on us. He came to save us. And you know what? God's love for you is so tremendous, it's bigger than 2,000 years. Because this Christmas story of the angels and the shepherds and Joseph and Mary and baby Jesus has been told for more than 2,000 years. And every year, God's love touches people's hearts so they can go to heaven. And I'd like to just close before we go and we sing another song, that sometimes on Christmas, some people aren't very happy. Some people are sad. Some people's families are in trouble. Sometimes mom or dad is in the military and they're away and you miss them. But all the people around you say, thank you. We know you miss them, but we're all celebrating Christmas tonight. Not another religion. We're celebrating Jesus because of what your mom and dad have done to keep us free. Then some of you have had trauma in your life, and maybe you found it very hard to come to church with somebody tonight, but you promised them you would. But you had to have a six-pack of beer or a full bottle of wine or something to be able to come into the meeting. How often most of us have had that happen in our lives. But there is one that fills us with such joy, that all of our sins and all the darkness and the cloudiness of our past is washed away because this baby became a man. And this man withstood everything the devil could throw at him. And the devil finally threw death at him. And Jesus resurrected from the dead. And because he lives, Jesus said, you can live. So if you are a sad person tonight, there's no reason for you to be sad anymore. God wants you to be a glad person. He's paid the price for all of that. And we know that sometimes there is not enough money to get presents, or maybe not even a tree. But it's the heart. It took nothing. It cost not a penny for us just to sing and to remember it's Christmas. That day that seems like everything stops and people get off work and we get to laugh. We get to have people come to our houses or we go to theirs and we rip packages apart and open them up. And sometimes your grandpa gives you the same present he gave you last year. And you're now old enough to realize at 14 that he's given you the same present for the last 8 years. And you're not going to say this year, Grandpa, you've already given me this. I've got some gifts for my grandchildren they won't believe. In fact, I'm sure that my kids will never let me give them another present after some of them get these good presents. These are cool presents. These are really cool. And I can't wait to get them. I don't really like necessarily getting the present. I just like giving the present, don't you? It's so much fun just to figure out, will this put a smile on somebody's face? Well, God figured it out that he could put a smile on your face. There's a couple of little babies, brand new, a little boy, two little boys. Brett, your baby's around there somewhere, huh? Whereabouts? And then there's a second one. Where's that second one? Sherwood, your son is around here somewhere. How about, would you, I know this might embarrass you, but would you mind bringing your babies up here just for a moment? These are brand new babies, and this will give you an idea, right? Do you mind? So we've got Brett Lawson Uno, and then we got Sherwood Patterson Quattro. This is going to be Sherwood Patterson the Fourth, and this is... I've watched Brett grow up in our schools, and now he's coming up here with a beautiful woman and a baby. Show, here, let's look at that. Yeah. Go ahead. Let him see the lights here and show him. Okay, tell us all the facts. Let me get you a microphone here. You got to tell us. Oh, you're bringing the whole family. That's great. When he was born, 7 pounds, 15 ounces. Here, hold him up, Brett. Look, kids. See him on the screen? Zero. Look at that guy. Now, does he not look like his father? Yeah. And his dad has a pair of pajamas just like these bottom ones here. I've seen them. So tell us about your baby. Now, this is Sherwood the Fourth, right?
Yes.
So you're the third, your father's the second, your...
Great-grandfather's the first.
First.
Yep.
Then grandfather, then father, then you.
Yep.
Hey, buddy, can you give me five yet? Your sisters could do it when they were your age. Right, girls? Yeah. Look at these girls. Are they not the most beautiful girls in the town?
He's got a little bit more hair than Dad, so...
Yeah, he does.
We'll just hold on to that.
See, two baby boys. Two baby boys. So, can you imagine? That could have been a question I could ask the moms. Could you imagine being outside in the cold with animals watching you deliver? That'd be so strange. But the Lord knew that would bring a smile to your face. His son was born in Bethlehem. And do you know that that was prophesied hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years before it happened? Didn't you realize there had to be a famine in Israel so that a family would have to leave and move to Jordan? And then the dad and the two boys would die? And then the mom and one of the wives of her son would go back to Israel 10 years later, and her name was Ruth. And then Ruth got a job working in a field and the owner of the field fell in love with her and married her. And then they had a baby, and they named, kind of a funny name, they named him Obed. Obed. Mary didn't have bed, so this was Obed. And then Obed grew up, and he got married. See, like, Sherwood was number three. His dad, he was number three. His dad was number two. His grandfather was number one, named Sherwood. And now his little baby boy is number four. So a man named Boaz married Ruth, and they had Obed, and Obed got married. They had a baby named Jesse. Then Jesse got married, and they had a baby named David. And David was the king of Israel, and he's the king that had so much faith in God that he fought a 9-foot giant one day and killed him. However, when you read the Bible, you find out that Joseph, who married Mary, happened to be related to David. So royal blood was in the heart from Joseph. And this man loved Mary like no other man could have ever loved her, because God had been working all those years to bring the two people together to accomplish his love for you tonight. And I'd like you to consider, if you've never, ever talked to God, that you would do it tonight. You could be a little boy or a little girl. You could be a big boy or big girl. But tonight, God is listening. He's not Santa Claus sitting on a big chair, but he is on a beautiful throne, and he's listening. And he is just wondering if you would like to receive his Christmas gift. It's one that will go for eternity, that you'll never, ever lose. It's eternal life, simply by believing in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and that you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and the Bible says you shall be saved. So we're all going to be quiet for a second and bow our heads down, and we're going to say a prayer together, okay? And then the musicians are going to come, and we're going to sing a Christmas carol. Father, tonight, as all these boys and girls have gathered with their families, we're very grateful for how you have allowed hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years to pass by. And just the fact of getting the right family members in line and allowing a famine to be used to move a family into Jordan, and then for a young woman there to marry one of these Jewish boys and come back with her mother-in-law. And then for that Jordanian, that Moabitess woman marrying and having a baby that would be the great-grandfather of King David. And you promised that from the throne of David, the Messiah would reign. And so we realize that Joseph, though he didn't have perfect blood that could save us from our sins, he had royal blood. And though he wasn't the father of Jesus, you were. And this man was so humble that he loved this little boy and allowed him to find that he was sent to be our Savior. So, dear God, tonight, would you forgive us of our sins, we pray. And would you give us life everlasting? So, if you would like to have Jesus in your heart every day, and you would like his love, I'd like you to just simply say this prayer or something close to it. Dear God, tonight I admit to you that I am a sinner. And God, I wish to receive your Christmas present, to receive your Son and the gift of salvation. Come into my life, Jesus, and fill me with your love. Amen.